land of ours is under attack. The time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just gonna wait and see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my power. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land. From sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Welcome back into the show, second hour on this Friday, April 5th, 2024 edition. Your Defending Fathers with Chuck or Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Joining us in this hour every Friday from 10 to 11 is Pastor Chatfield. He's got an item for us today, a lesson plan, Adolf Hitler. We're talking about Adolf Hitler from what, World War II era?
Right. Adolf Hitler. I just put, when I texted you, I put Adolf Hitler, period.
Yes.
Conversation can go. I was contemplating, could it happen again? Or Adolf Hitler, could it happen again? Or Adolf Hitler and his rise to power. Adolf Hitler, how could the German people endorse such a thing? I mean, it's a long story about Hitler. It is... I've spent way too many hours in the last few weeks in my life looking at Hitler. He is mesmerizing. He is, and the way it is. I mean, he was.
Are you teaching World War II now in your history class?
Yes, we're finishing it.
Yes, okay.
We're finishing it.
One thing I did want to ask you on that vein, because like you say, there's so many different directions it could go, and so many people claiming that, you know, history is repeating itself. I've had numerous people talk to me about Putin, what's going on with Ukraine, Biden, these other leaders, President of China, President Xi, and Taiwan, all the different things that are going on. I think the basic to get started is a point that, you know, what is a situation ideally. Like, for example, the history of Germany. Why was it so set up, so prime for somebody like Adolf Hitler to come to power? Would that be perhaps a good place to start?
Yes. By the way, and just let me add, Donald Trump. I have people that are I went to high school with. They think that we, the conservatives that support President Trump, you're following a Hitler. That's what they think.
Wow.
They actually think that. They think that. Now, I can, you know, all right, so it could take different directions. Just, by the way, everybody, don't necessarily, I have friends in high school who do not like Hitler, excuse me, Hitler, Trump, do not like Trump. We, none of us like Hitler, but I'm not going to unfriend them. I just, they don't understand. By the way, let me add to that, what about Barack Obama? Was he a Hitler? No, of course not. However, it is true. The degree that some people admired President Obama was, in my view, way out of bounds. But I that's just my position.
Sure.
When he showed up in Berlin and 500,000 people showed up for a rally, and he spoke to them, and they were chanting, "Obama, Obama, Obama." And I thought, wow, I haven't seen this in a long time.
Right.
But so I'm trying to be dispassionate about this. But yes, to answer your question, yeah, there were a lot of things that brought Germany to a point where they could accept somebody like Adolf Hitler. And while the majority never really fully endorsed, the vast majority did accept. I mean, the Nazis were never a majority, ever. Didn't win a majority. But they were bullies. And with some smart political maneuvering and some that they took power, and Hitler consolidated his power. And that is the way it is. And we'll address that after the break.
Yeah, sounds good. Perfect spot for a break. He's Pastor Rusty Chatfield. I'm Trucker Randy. We'll be right back.
Find everything you need to ride at Northern Leathers and Accessories, where comfort and style meet no matter the season. Find parts, equipment, and other products for motorcycles, snowmobiles, and ATVs, including products from Drag Specialties, Parts Unlimited, Moose Utilities, Lucas, and Champion Power. Plus apparel for men, women, and children, including big and tall sizes. Quality items at prices you can afford. Stop in today to browse our selection located on US 131 in Elba. We are more than just leathers. The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sioux St. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
Free spring inspection for your vehicle. Bring your vehicle to Royal Tire at 402 West Mitchell and Petoskey. Get a free inspection of your wiper blades, tires and wheels, a battery test, brake pads and rotors. Call to schedule an appointment at 231-347-1001. Make sure your vehicle is ready for summer. It's coming. Again, call Royal Tire at 231-347-1001.
I'm Dr. Sherry O'Donnell, running for U.S. Senate. I'm a physician, not a politician. I've been on 35 mission trips, mostly disaster relief. I've led medical teams to every major disaster in recent history. When COVID broke out, I was asked to serve in New York City. My motivation to run for U.S. Senate is the same. As a first responder around the world, how can I not serve when my own country needs me? As your next U.S. Senator, I will bring the cure for Michigan. Vote Dr. Sherry O'Donnell for U.S. Senate. Paid for by Dr. Sherry for Senate.
Hey everybody, it's Sherry LaFave in Onaway. Come join the Presque County Republicans at this year's Reagan Day fundraiser dinner, Saturday, May the 11th at the Posen Community Center. Come enjoy a great dinner and hear from Patriot rock star Mark Farner, founding member of the original Grand Funk Railroad band. For tickets, call Darren Darga at 231-489-9254. Call today, 231-489-9254. See you there.
Montana Black Angus beef raised in Onaway, Michigan. Tolini Farms have been raising their cows by feeding them non-GMO corn, barley, wheat, and alfalfa hay, all grown on their own farm. Taking the Ebles for processing, aged, standard cut, vacuum sealed, and frozen, ready for immediate delivery directly to you. Call them today at 989-733-2782 for their current $4 per hanging weight pound. Quarters or halves will feed your family for a year. Call them right now at 989-733-2782.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second segment, continuing our conversation with Pastor Chatfield about Adolf Hitler. So what was the, I guess, the situation. Where was the country at? Where was Germany back in the day when Adolf Hitler basically rose to power?
Okay, so let me. World War One had ended. It was called the Great War. Hitler fought in the war. He was remember he was born in Austria, but had German nationalistic sentiments, as did a lot of Austrians, but not all. It was divided. He joined the German army, not the Austrian army, from Bavaria, and did well, I suppose. He earned a Silver Cross in the war, and was very pro-Germany, as were a lot. But Hitler, and a lot of Germans thought that the Treaty of Versailles was an insult to Germany, especially the War Guilt Clause, which said, hey, Germany, you started World War One; it's all your fault. And I don't think that that's quite legit. I don't think that's quite fair. And I don't have time to explain everything about World War One, but they felt insulted. Plus the fact they had a huge reparations was laid on Germany after World War One, which essentially bankrupted the country. The West had imposed what was called the Weimar Republic upon the Germans when they weren't ready for it. Boy, you got to learn these histories. They weren't ready for a Republican form of government, a representative democracy. They couldn't handle it. And so the country was in depression, huge, large unemployment, many, many different parties. Actually, Hitler remained in the army after World War One, and went to Munich and lived as a street person. I mean, he lived in homeless shelters. It's unbelievable that he would later become the most powerful man on earth, but that is what happened. But and so the country was in turmoil, and he was sent by the army to infiltrate this new party, the Nazi Party. And after hearing what they had to say, he basically joined it and got to know some of the leadership of the Nazi Party and rose to power. He had great oratorical ability, and he was a master planner, and he was a great speaker in the sense that he could sense the audience and what they were thinking, and he worked his way up. He became the leader of the party, and in 1923, he was called the Beer Hall Putsch. He attempted a revolution to seize power, and it failed, and he went to prison. While in prison, he wrote his political autobiography, Mein Kampf, My Struggle. Was released early and went and decided he was going to try to politically win power, and he maneuvered here and there, and eventually he took power. I don't have time to go over all this; it'd take a long time, but more or less legally, until he got enough power where he united the presidency and the chancellor position into one, and then when he got power, he eliminated all possibility of anybody challenging him, and that was in 1939. And he immediately started these big projects to rearm Germany, to build a big, like an interstate, like our interstate, of highway system. And he had huge parades, and he started promoting Germany. And while a lot of people were questioning it, few stood against him. And those that did stand against him were put in concentration camps. There were the people that stood against him mostly would be like the communists. He hated communism, threw them in jail. And he was, and his ideology was strictly racist. He didn't like the communists, didn't like the Slavs, didn't like the blacks. When I say he didn't like, he thought they were basically inferior. And worst of all were the Jews that he thought were responsible for all the wars in Europe, and that they were the cause of the defeat of Germany. And they betrayed Germany. The idea that the armistice, when Germany signed a ceasefire agreement with the Allies in 1918, they thought that the Allies would treat them fairly, and the harsh conditions of Treaty of Versailles infuriated the German nationalists, and they thought they were betrayed. And by the way, almost all Germans thought that it was too harsh. And if we can look backward at history, even Churchill kind of thought that it was too much, too strict, and it created the conditions in which people were looking for an answer, somebody that would inspire them, and that was Hitler. Now, so he takes power. He attains power basically legally, but then gets rid of all the mechanisms by which anybody could ever get power, and he creates his own personal bodyguards, which are called the SS, which creates a strong, way too strong secret police called the Gestapo, and is a big bully at home. A bully is not even the right word, but I mean, it is what it is. I mean, you lived in fear, but if you were pro-Nazi and pro-Hitler, you'd get along all right. And things went well for him. Now, let me fast forward to 1938. He had already annexed Austria. Remember, I told you that the Austrians spoke German, and a lot of the Austrians wanted to be a part of Germany, and those that didn't speak loud enough, and they just – Austria opened the gates up, and the Germans marched in, and they annexed it. And then Hitler was talking about we need more living space. There was a term here that they had, Lebensraum, or living space. I probably did mess that up, the German pronunciation. See, there were a lot of German-speaking people all throughout Europe, a lot of German-speaking people in Austria, German-speaking people in Poland, German-speaking people in Czechoslovakia. And he was under the persuasion that the Aryan race, the Germans, were the superior race and that it was their destiny to control the world. And he bullied his way at the Munich in 1938, Munich, Germany, invited the French and the English over, the British, and they basically signed away the Sudetenland, part of Czechoslovakia, to Hitler. And Hitler said, I have no further territorial claims in Europe. Just give me this. And Chamberlain comes back and says, we have peace in our time. The German Führer leader has given me his word. That's all he wants. But obviously that's not all he wanted. In short order, he takes the rest of Czechoslovakia. And so now he's got all of Czechoslovakia, all of Austria. He's rearmed. He's broken the Treaty of Versailles repeatedly. And now the West is starting to wonder, hey, we might have made a mistake here. France and Germany are starting to say, hey, we're not going to give you Poland now. But early in 1939, the Germans and the Russians, the Soviets, signed a non-aggression pact, basically saying we're going to divide up Poland. Germany from the West and the Soviet Union from the East, we're going to divide it up. And the hapless Poles, here they are, what are they going to do? Now, France and Germany said, we're going to honor our agreement with Poland, Mr. Hitler. If you invade Poland, we're going to defend them, which they tried to do, but it was way too late at that point. September 1st, 1939, Germany invades Poland, basically saying it's because the German-speaking people in Poland are so discriminated against, are so brutalized, that this is the only thing. We have to go in there to protect the German speaking people in Poland, and these people have a right to be a part of Germany. And there was a spot up there on the I think it's the Baltic Sea, that it's called East Prussia. They were 90% German speakers. He wanted them to be a part of Germany, and so basically Poland ceases to exist there. I mean, they cease to exist. The Soviets from the East, the Germans from the West. September 1st, 1939, and France in Britain declare war, and that's how World War I begins. I'll just take a breath there. So that's
right.
That's how,
because, you know, and it's interesting as I'm listening to the times and how the United States, we were so war weary after World War I, that really, I think, pushed Hitler to become more power hungry. He knew the United States. He understood how the people felt. I'm sure he took polls or found out information from somebody what the sentiment was. Was he ever actively engaged in communicating with either U.S. congressmen or senators?
Yes.
How did that play out politically?
Well, know this, that there was a pro-Nazi rally in the 1930s at Madison Square Garden in New York City. For the Nazis. There was a picture of George Washington, huge, like a banner of Washington, and Hitler. And that, and there were a lot of Americans that said, yeah, he's good for Germany. Okay, yeah, look, Germany was mistreated by the Treaty of Versailles. This guy is okay.
Wow.
There was a percentage of Americans said that. Now, look, it's easy now with historical perspective to say, boy, were they duped. But it is what it is. Now, FDR did not know. He like Churchill, could see what Hitler was. However, FDR was handcuffed because the American people were not with him. Even in 1939 and in 40, the vast majority of Americans did not want to go to war again. And get the perspective a little. Let me cut Chamberlain, even the appeaser there at Munich in 1938. Listen, that's only 20 years after the Great War, as World War I was then known as, had ended. They didn't want to go to war again.
Right.
They had enough. And so they were hopeful that they would not have to go to war. It's easy for us to call Chamberlain and Munich Pact of 1938 appeasement, and it was. But you can kind of understand a lot of people died in World War I, and they did not want to go to war again. And they certainly weren't going to go to war over a part of Czechoslovakia known as Sudetenland, in which there were a lot of German-speaking people. Now, were they actually being discriminated against? I doubt there was maybe a little, possibly, probably not. But Hitler knew how to use that and even had propaganda. Right, we would have the German speaking people from there and from Poland. They would put them on film, and yes, this happened and that happened, and was able to utilize that to get German people behind them. Now, when they invaded Poland, there was the German people did not like it. I mean, they were kind of somber. Oh, we do not want another great war. But everything went so well. Everything went so well in Poland. Then later, they're talking about late 39, they took Poland quickly. Not much happened in World War II between 39 and the spring of 1940, but everything that did happen went Germany's way. Then Germany invaded Luxembourg, the Netherlands, Belgium, went around the Maginot Line, went through the Ardennes, this thickly wooded, forested area between France and Germany, and the Belgium area, that people thought you couldn't move an army through there. He did. He split up the English, the British, and the French forces, trapped them at Dunkirk, went in almost unopposed into Paris, so that by May of 1940, it was like, I mean, it was incredible. Here comes Hitler, and pictures of him around the Eiffel Tower and him just viewing the city is unbelievable. And the French surrendered in the same rail car that the Germans had surrendered 20 years earlier, 21 years earlier, 22 years earlier. But nevertheless, I mean, it was incredibly fast how quickly Europe was at his feet. And if he would have had restraint, and then when he comes back to Germany, now the German people, whoa, this was an easy war. And because he basically dominated Europe just by 1940.
1940, wow. We're going to leave it right there. This is before December 7th, 1941. We'll talk about that after the break. We'll be right back.